رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah As-Sajdah, Ayah 19 to 30, Istafsir and Explanation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the outcome of both those who believe and one who is a fasiq, how they cannot be equal. We look at their outcome and their recompense. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْمَأْوَى. As for those who believe and did good deeds, for them is Jannat al-Ma'wa. Jannat al-Ma'wa is named for a specific Jannah, or that Jannah will be their destination. They will not go there as visitors, but will live there. As we go to the beautiful places of this world to visit, but there it will be their permanent residence. Nuzulam bima kanu ya'malun. Again, doing deeds is mentioned. A hospitality, nuzulan, of what they used to do. Nuzulan is a welcome and hospitality prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for what reason? Bima kanu ya'malun. Because of what they used to do. So if a person decides that I will not do the deeds, then why I need to bother learning about them? Or someone says, I can never do the deeds necessary. No one should decide ahead of time not to obey the commands of Allah. Can't we do the deeds for this Jannah? If man was able to see the Jannah Allah promises, he would be ready to do anything. So for this, why wouldn't anyone want to work hard to get there? And why do we give up and say we cannot do it? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. And remember, this is a recompense and reward for the good deeds. They were bestowed Jannah in exchange for their deeds. Such Jannah that they will inhabit. Ma'wa is a place of refuge that embraces the person entering it and will welcome them. This is due to their righteous deeds. They had accepted the commands of Allah and did not cross the boundaries, all the boundaries and restrictions that tell us all that is forbidden to do. It can be from food we eat or what we wear or how we spend or earn. There are restrictions. So whoever breaks these restrictions and crosses these boundaries is a fasiq. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that whoever was fearful, he will leave on his journey in the early time or leave early. He begins his journey before daybreak, because the traveler is worried that he would not reach the destination. So whoever left early will reach his destination. Listen, Allah's bargain is very expensive, and His bargain is Jannah. It's not very cheap. Cannot think it will be given for free without any effort. Jannah is not for free. Its price is very expensive, and hard work and striving is required. The Prophet ﷺ also said, the sweetness of this world is bitterness of the hereafter, and bitterness of this world is sweetness of the hereafter. The deeds that we find bitter in this world are difficult and heavy upon the nafs. They are sweetness in the hereafter, and the things that seem enjoyable in this world, as the heart is inclined towards those matters, they will become bitterness in the hereafter. We see a beautiful outcome for a mu'min What blessings he will be bestowed with, what the eyes never saw, the ears never heard, and no thought ever entered the heart. He will get all that. Can this be equal to? وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ. And as for those who disobeyed and transgressed, so their refuge and abode will be fire. What was the ma'wa of the mu'min? Jannah. And here, theirs is an-nar, the hellfire. كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا, whenever they wanted or wished, أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا, that they get out from it. وَيُعِيدُوا فِيهَا, they will be returned in it. Hell will be such a painful place. The person there will intend to come out from it, somehow. He will try to escape. But whenever he tries to escape, he will be returned back. And it will be said, وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Taste the torment of the fire. الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Which you used to belie and deny. You used to say, there is no such thing. These are only sayings. Nothing will happen. Astaghfirullah. That which they didn't even believe in and never worried about or feared entering. They never thought about it. Instead, belied in it. Denied with their words. So whoever enters this hell, will he be equal to one who is enjoying in Jannah? Even the walls of hell are so thick. The width of each wall would take 40 years to penetrate or cross over. So when they will be placed in it, they will try to escape, but will not be able to. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jahannam was flared for 1,000 years. Then its fire became red. Then it was flared for another 1,000 years. Then its fire became white. Then it was flared for another 1,000 years. Then its fire became pitch black. So now the fire of hell is pitch black as the darkest of night. There is no light in its flames. It remains dark. Can this be equal to one who is in Jannah, enjoying himself? One who is amidst the walls of gold and silver and among its lush trees and sitting upon thrones, and those in the fire, can they be equal? Are they equal in their outcome? Their lives were not the same. Therefore, even their consequences will not be the same. In Bukhari Muslim narration, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fire of this world that you kindle is 1/70th of that fire of hell. The Sahaba said, the fire of this world was enough to burn the person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, despite that, the heat of the fire of hell is 69 times more than the heat of the fire of this world. And we learn about one in the lowest level of Jannah. Now we learn about the punishment of the lowest level of hell, or Jahannam. Their boat shoes and his shoelaces will be a fire. They will not be in the fire completely. Only the shoes and his laces will be a fire, because of which the person's brain will boil like a pot. He will think that he is getting the highest level of punishment, while he will be in the lowest level of punishment. Astaghfirullah. We cannot tolerate even the light heat of this world. Then how will we tolerate that? We also learn about the rides of Jannah and what will happen in hell. In the Jannah, angels will greet them with salam. But in hell, the angels will curse and rebuke. There will be 19 angels over hell. One from the 19 will be their leader, whose name is Malik, while just one angel is sufficient to give the punishment. But to instill different punishments, different angels are appointed over the tasks. When the hell is 100 years distance from those going to hell, its eyes will fall on those people. It will enrage with anger upon seeing them. It will roar and scream and call out. And this they will hear, and when they are dragged to it, will call for death. As one in extreme pain in this world calls for death, they will call for their end, but death will not come to them. We learn the expanse of Jannah. It is as big as heavens and the earth, and even hell is big, but those in hell will be placed in extremely tight spaces. As the Prophet ﷺ said, just as a nail is stuck in a wall, in a very tight space, similarly, those in hell will be placed and pushed in. There will be poisonous animals in hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, in hell there are snakes with necks as long as camels. If one snake was to sting in the hellfire, its pain will not end for 40 years. The scorpions of hell are the size of donkeys. If they sting once, its pain will be felt for 40 years. Then not only this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زِدْنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ. We will increase the punishment. It will keep increasing. The teeth of the scorpions will be as long as the big dates. Can these and those in Jannah be equal? People say we will go to Jahannam for only a few days, then we'll go to Jannah. Rather, no one can tolerate hell for even a moment. In that case, we have to believe here today and have to change today. The punishments of hell are unbearable. They will not end nor have escape from them. We cannot even tolerate the heat of a heated oven if we think there is even the slightest chance of ending up in hellfire. Then this life is useless. And what benefit is the fun, comfort, are we nourishing our bodies for that day? Astaghfirullah, there is no escape from it. Then should only turn to Allah and submit to Him. We should turn to the One who can save us from the punishments. We cannot be saved by turning away from Him. Only if Allah shows mercy, then we will be saved. Otherwise, there is no other way. We cannot hide nor run away somewhere, nor have salvation without His obedience. Then why not turn to Him and come under His mercy? مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ. Not for you any protector or any intercessor. There is no one to save. When only Allah is the refuge, the punishments are great and not tolerable. It is such a place where life is not living, and nor there is death, that it all ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. Then there will be neither death and nor living. One skin of a person will burn, and then new skin will be created, so they can stay in that torment. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. It will be said, so taste. It will not increase you in anything except the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, and we are heedless about it. What is making us heedless? Just as Jannah and its blessings are such that no eyes have ever seen, nor any ears that heard, nor any heart that ever perceived it. Similarly, Jahannam is such a place, and its torments are such that it cannot be imagined in this world. Can anyone imagine such snakes, such scorpions, or hellfire itself, and such a place where its canopies are fire, its beds are fire, its blankets are fire, its tents are fire? وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ And we will surely make them taste the lighter punishments before the bigger punishment. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So perhaps they return. Before the bigger punishment of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the smaller punishments, smaller difficulties, calamities. We would consider them smaller, as they are smaller in comparison to the punishments of Jahannam. In this world, if anyone faces a big hardship or a calamity, even if it is considered a big calamity or a difficulty, it will still be small compared to Jahannam. Therefore, when the Prophet ﷺ would want to sleep, Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha said that he would put his right hand under his cheeks. What do we remember when we lay down to sleep? Activities of the entire day, planning for the next day. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma waqini azabaka, O Allah, save me from your punishment. The day you resurrect your slaves, save me from the torment of that day. So there is a big difference between the two groups. One was successful and the other lost. One group considered themselves greater and the other, Allah, his Lord, greater than everything. One lived life according to the commands of Allah and the other following his own desires. Such a difference. But our Lord, our Sustainer, is so merciful that he makes man taste smaller punishments or difficulties or hardships, sometimes in form of illnesses, difficulties, sometimes worries of children, sometimes droughts, lack of peace, mass killings, earthquakes, tsunamis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these difficulties before the Azab al-Akbar. What is called the Azab al-Akbar? The punishment of Jahannam, the punishment of hellfire in the hereafter. Before that bigger punishment, Allah sends reminders and warnings so mankind can repent and turn back to Him. In the world, when difficulties and hardships come, the man with insight will realize that if this difficulty he is facing in his life is intolerable for him, then how will he tolerate the punishment of the hereafter? Then he will turn back to Allah and not act stubbornly, and will reform and straighten out his life. The difficulties of this world shake people, so they submit to Allah, as when we hear about someone's child dying. After that, their life changes. So these are smaller reminders. These difficulties and worries, they are punishments Allah sends before the bigger punishments, so man can fix himself and repent. But someone who is stubborn and persists in his way, and even after hearing reminders and getting faced with difficulties or hardships, then his destination can only be fire. Only the fire will melt him. Because if anyone didn't melt after hearing the mention of hell and the reminders and didn't change despite facing smaller punishments, so what else will straighten him? Then only fire of Jahannam will straighten him. Such fire that even if they want to get out, the angels will throw them back. They will not let them escape. A person who considers himself noble, honorable in the world today, who wants to follow his own desires and crosses the boundary set by Allah and considers himself respectable, will be humiliated and will be told, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, taste the torment of the hellfire. Did they spend their life enjoying themselves for this day, they will be told to taste the torment. Allah had sent them many reminders, warning signs, and difficulties. Sometimes hurricanes came, sometimes raised in the cost of living, saw killings, or faced an accident. They should have corrected themselves, but didn't take heed, nor turn to Allah, nor believe that there is an Allah, nor stop being arrogant. So now taste the torment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends reminders in form of sufferings and pain. They are blessings in disguise. Some people still do not understand, and for some it becomes a means of nearness to Allah, and their lives get changed. And upon the kuffar of Makkah, Allah has sent upon them drought and wars, so they turn to Allah. So if we look in their context, they too faced azab al-adna, but they did not understand. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. Who is more unjust? A big zalim or oppressor. Who do we consider unjust? Someone who devours wealth of others, or tortures someone, or hurts other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the biggest wrongdoer is one who was reminded with the ayat of Allah and he didn't care and showed a cold shoulder and ignored. Do we consider this type of person unjust? The person read and understood Quran yet didn't believe in it and turned away. As many people come and learn the Quran and then leave, they turn away from it. What happens? Can someone even after learning Quran can turn away? This is a serious matter. Leaving after hearing. This is doing when learning about the commands and do not act upon them and ignore them. When the ayat were recited to them and admonished with it, remained stubborn as if they never heard. They turn away. Their actions do not show any effect of the Quran. They make it as if never heard it. And some do not act upon the commands and leave physically. Even after hearing the ayat, they turn away. Inna minal mujrimina muntaqimun. Indeed, we will avenge from the criminals. Who can be a bigger criminal than one who turns away? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avenge them. Whoever leaves Quran and considers it of no value. Dhikr also means remembrance of Allah in a gathering. So when they hear it, leave the gathering or want it to be over and get annoyed or feel uneasy. So dhikr could include Quran and knowledge of his commands and mention of Allah. When they are reminded, they turn away. While those in Ayah 15, when they are reminded, they listen attentively, therefore fall in prostration and do not act arrogantly, while others just turn away. Those who are reminded with the Ayat of Allah in the Quran, after listening, they turn away. Then they are unjust and the wrongdoers, and Allah will avenge them. Just as a criminal is one who hears and doesn't correct his behavior, these people turn away. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will avenge, how will that revenge be? Even warning of a person who doesn't have any value, what can they inflict? But we get afraid and lose sleep for the warning. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah will avenge them. They are criminals in the sight of Allah. After listening, they remain stubborn. If today they feel safe and free, even when they do not take heed, no, Allah will avenge, and His avenge is very hard. Some people, after listening, they say, we didn't find it interesting, and they leave it. So when they get admonished with the ayat of Allah, they should make dua to Allah for help, so they can obey the commands. Even the companions of the Prophet were people, but they were able to become muhsineen, and if Allah wishes, we too can become muhsin. So cannot deny, but should strive and make dua. Even if after trying, a person falls short, they should get up and keep on striving, and keep asking for forgiveness for their mistakes. There are some who say it is very difficult for them, or how can this be done today, and do not even try. The best wrongdoer near Allah are those who make mistakes and turn to Him in repentance. And those who do not try and say cannot do it, or say it's very difficult, or it's not fair for us, or how can it happen at this day and age, or say these are talks of old. This is in A'rada Anha. وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّن لِقَائِهِ. And certainly we gave Musa the book, so do not doubt in his meeting. لِقَائِهِ, with the pronoun he, could mean it or his. So one explanation of he is referring to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He gave Musa alayhi salam a book, so do not be in doubt. Then how can the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam receive a book? Because the mushrik or idolaters of Makkah doubted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he received revelation, and accused him that someone taught him or made it up or copied it from somewhere. So look, if Allah gave a book to Musa alayhi salam, could Allah not give it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Why do you doubt? But the book, جَعَلْنَاهُ هُدَلِّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made it a guidance for children of Israel. Here we learn that the Torah was only for Bani Israel, not for all of mankind until the day of Qiyamah. Rather, Quran was sent for all of mankind and until the day of Qiyamah. So before Musa alayhi salam received a book. So why are they surprised that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam received a book? This was not the first time. And guidance was sent to mankind aforetime. And there were others sent as prophets in the near areas. Bani Israel are mentioned because the Yahud lived in Medina and were in the near proximity, and the mushrik or idolaters of Makkah would especially go to them to ask them questions. They considered them people of the book and people of knowledge. So they are near you who received a book. So why are you in doubt? And if you look at the second meaning of liqa'ihi, he to be Musa alayhi salam, then لَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ, certainly we give Musa the book. فَلَا تَكُمْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّن لِقَائِهِ, so do not be in doubt in his meeting. Meeting with who? Musa alayhi salam. We cannot doubt in the meeting of Musa alayhi salam with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Musa alayhi salam met with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Miraj. There Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam met, and this is what may be inferred. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that in the night of Miraj, I saw Musa alayhi salam, and he was of tawny, light brown color. He was tall and with curly hair. So there is no doubt in it. And we made جَعَلْنَاهُ him, meaning Musa alayhi salam, made Musa alayhi salam means of guidance for Bani Israel. He came as a prophet to them. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And even after Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made leaders in them. Leaders here means religious leaders, callers to deen. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. They guided with our command when they endured with patience. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And they were ones who believed in the ayat with conviction. Here we are told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent imam or leaders after Musa alayhi salam, who called people towards Allah, his commands. They had two qualities because of which they could carry on the work of guidance. And those two reasons were when they endured with patience and they had yaqeen in the ayat of Allah. Because of these two qualities, they could do the work of guidance. So for guiding people to deen and to convey the commands of Allah to the people, two things which are necessary are: one, sabr or patience; number two, and yaqeen in the ayat of Allah. If the person conveying to others has the yaqeen, the belief with certainty in the ayat of Allah, only then they can call others to it. But if do not have yaqeen and are not convinced themselves and have some doubts, then how can they convince people? And the first quality, sabr, is very important, because in work of deen, those who convey to others need a lot of patience, because in every step there are physical, mental, and financial stresses. And one who does not have patience will not get very far. Because when someone is conveying to others, people will respond negatively. They will taunt and mock or ridicule, even if there is not a physical torture today, as those conveying the message of Allah aforetime were tortured. Those doing da'wah refer to a'immatan. It's a very difficult process because they do the work of Allah with sincerity and out of sympathy for others. Many times, people respond negatively with reprisals. And if they do not have patience, patience means keeping oneself tied to the work, not that saw negative reactions from people and within a few days run away from the work. No, must have patience and self-control. Many times the person conveying the message, doing the da'wah, has to control his own anger and has to respond calmly no matter how harshly those being conveyed react. Also, patience is required in the sense that this is one arena where do not see immediate results. This work is such that it requires a lot of time. So we cannot get disheartened and leave the work. So need patience in all respects. Patience will be needed upon pains endured upon oneself and for the objections of people, for waiting to see the fruits of his work. Upon mockery of people, patience will also be needed to continue on with this work. If they see others having fun and enjoying themselves, and look at their own hard work and sacrifices, shaitan would discourage and make them get disheartened, and would get encouraged to leave the work, so they can enjoy themselves as others are. So even with this, one conveying the message needs patience. Many times this work has to be done at the cost of dunya. A person doing da'wah may see opportunities to work and earn money. So patience is needed to keep on this work. When a person dedicates himself to admonishing people and conveying the message of Allah. Patience, a lot of patience is needed. Many times they have to tolerate negative reactions of family and taunts of friends who only discourage and say, leave what you are doing and enjoy yourselves. So patience is needed upon many matters. The Prophet ﷺ said that I was threatened so much and was caused so much pain in this way, like no other person. And 30 such days passed that for Bilal and myself there was nothing for us to eat that any living could eat. We see how they had to endure physical and mental tortures. When the torture and trouble is from one's considered someone's own and do not get any support from them, then this is the most painful time for the one conveying the message of Allah. And in this, great patience is also required. Patience is also to remain steadfast, even if find opposition from the families or others. There could be different situations, but patience is required no matter what the situation. Also, those who do the work of dawah, people think they are public property and can say whatever they want. They can make any comments about them. They think they can gossip, spread rumors, or slander them. This is where patience is also required. We learn how Bani Israel troubled even Musa alayhi salam. Then, when the A'immatan came, their treatment was not any different. They are known to have killed many prophets that were sent to them. So the Imam here refers to whoever came to call them to the deen and conveyed the commands of Allah to them. So we learn patience is very important. Only with patience and yaqeen in the ayat of Allah, one can do this work. If a person gets shaky in either of these two qualities, they cannot do this work.